baseball!
This is the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast, the only podcast devoted entirely to Arkansas baseball, featuring interviews with coaches and guests from across the country.
Welcome in Kendall Rogers of D1Baseball.com, Joe Healy of Baseball America, Chris Burke is with the ESPN SEC Network.
Now from Fayetteville, here's your host, Matt Jones.
A lot of people, myself included, have remarked over the past couple of months how much the 2019 season has felt like the 2018 one. Well, after the first weekend of the College World Series, we finally have a situation that feels a lot different than last year. In 2018, Arkansas didn't face elimination in Omaha until the final day of the season, that 5-0 loss to Oregon State in Game 3 of the National Championship Series. This year, or at least for the next week, the Razorbacks are going to face elimination every time they take the field. Arkansas's 1-0 loss to Florida State on Saturday sent the Razorbacks into that dreaded loser's bracket in Omaha. Arkansas would have to win 4 straight games to get out of the loser's bracket and advance to the National Championship Series. First elimination game is today at 1 o'clock against Texas Tech. We'll have more on that matchup in a moment, but first some thoughts on the Razorbacks' loss to the Seminoles. In a low-scoring game like the one Saturday, second guesses abound, coulda, woulda, shoulda, about what coaches and players might have done differently. Every game's easy to look at from a microscopic viewpoint or maybe a macroscopic viewpoint. We'll do a little of both. A couple of decisions I've heard second guess since Saturday night include Dave Van Horn's decision to take Isaiah Campbell out after 7 innings and the decision to play for a sack fly over a sack bunt with a runner on third base and one out in the 8th inning. On the Campbell decision, it made sense to me. He was at 100 pitches, and even though he hadn't allowed a run, he was pitching against a lot of base runners. I've heard pitching coaches say a lot of times that there are an X number of pitches that are easy or a hard X number of pitches, and that seemed like a hard 100-pitch night for Campbell. Really, the second guess might have been who the Razorbacks brought in more than who they took out. Cody Scroggins had been really good that week before against Ole Miss in Game 3 of the Super Regional, but there's been some command issues off and on with him out of the bullpen this season, including that high propensity that he has had to hit batters, and of course that ended up being how the winning run got on in the 9th inning for Florida State. On the decision not to sack fly with Casey Martin at the plate and Christian Franklin on third base in the 8th inning, I understood it too. Most coaches are going to play for a sack fly in that situation, especially with a player like Martin at the plate. Casey Martin's got 15 home runs this season, one of the better power hitters that the Razorbacks have. A sack bunt presents a number of risks, most notably that it can quickly eat up number of strikes that are available to a hitter. Regardless, in that situation, any decision is going to be second-guessed when it's not successful. A failed sack bunt there would have led to some asking why a sack fly wasn't called for instead. That's just how fandom works. Big picture, Florida State just made more plays than Arkansas at the plate, on the mound, in the field. The decision to charge the infield paid off in a big way with that inning-ending double play in the third, and J.C. Flowers, of course, robbed Heston Kerstad of 2, maybe 3 bases with an incredible catch against the wall early in the game. I thought those were 2 very big plays that helped Florida State be able to be in the game late. If those plays aren't made, we're likely not looking at a scoreless game going into the 9th inning like we did, and the game probably takes on an entirely different identity, how Arkansas pitches, how they come to the plate. Maybe Isaiah Campbell is a little bit more comfortable and doesn't have to throw as many pitches. But it didn't happen, and Arkansas is 0-1. I think you also have to look at how Drew Parrish pitched for Florida State and Mike Martin's decision to pitch him in the first place. That was a decision that had been second-guessed a little bit going into the game because Parrish had a 5.11 ERA and has been kind of up and down this season. But like we said Saturday, throwing left-handers, that's been a winning recipe for teams against Arkansas, especially left-handers who are more soft-throwing lefties, you know, not the power arms like maybe a Nick Lodolo or an Ethan Small from Mississippi State. We've seen Arkansas struggle against those type of pitchers a number of times this year, including even in midweek games. The UALR game is one that comes to mind. Parrish kept Arkansas off balance the whole game, and it seemed like he was even in command when Arkansas had runners in scoring position. The Razorbacks were 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position on Saturday night. And I thought the real key to the game was how Florida State was able to work the pitch count against Isaiah Campbell in those early innings while Parrish was getting some quick outs. You didn't see Parrish's pitch count up as high as Campbell's was, in the middle part of the game. And Parrish, really had a lot lower pitch count to work with as he got into some more dicey situations there late in the game. After the game, Dave Van Horn reminded his team of what Oregon State did to get to the National Championship Series last year. The Beavers lost their first game in Omaha to North Carolina in 2018, but won four straight to get out of that bracket and get to the National Championship Series against the Razorbacks. At Arkansas's practice on Sunday, Van Horn explained a little bit about what he told his team in the locker room following that Florida State loss.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first thing I said, is that Oregon State lost last year and they came back through the loser's bracket. And then I quickly flipped it to, but the way they did it was they worried about the next game, and that's all you can worry about. You get it. You start letting your mind wander and thinking, we got to do this to get to the championship series. You can't think about the championship series. You got to think about Monday night or Monday afternoon. So hopefully they will. We talked about it again today, and it's all about Monday, and it's all about our next ball game.
The format this first week of the College World Series is essentially the same as a regional round in the tournament, but the loser's bracket in Omaha feels a little bit different and really a lot different than the loser's bracket in a regional because of the days off that teams have in between games. In a regional, a team that loses its first game has to win four games in 3 days to win its bracket. But in Omaha, it has 6 days to win four games, and that can be a real big difference when you're talking about stretching a pitching staff. Then Van Horn was asked about that dynamic after Sunday's practice, and this is what he had to say.
You can keep some pitchers fresh a little bit. You can get some things straightened out. The key is to win on Monday, and you get another day off, and you can start bringing back guys that you threw last night, or however you want to handle it as far as out of the pen. You get through Wednesday, you can probably bring back your starter again on Friday that threw Saturday. So it just depends on how you want to handle it. You kind of who you're matching up against, what do they have, and. But the key right now is just for us to go out and do really well tomorrow.
Van Horn announced Sunday that he will give the ball to freshman Connor Nolan for today's elimination game. Nolan did not pitch well last week against Ole Miss. He allowed 4 runs in 1-plus inning, gave up a 3-run home run, and then a solo home run to lead off the second inning before he was pulled in that game, an Arkansas loss, the only loss that they had in the Super Regional. But prior to that game, Nolan had a 1.66 ERA in 38 innings over 7 starts, and during those 38 innings he struck out 29 batters and only walked 3. Was very good over the second half of the season, and that led to him being named a freshman All-American earlier this week by Perfect Game. Nolan was asked Sunday about bouncing back this week after that performance against Ole Miss, and here's what he had to say about facing Texas Tech.
Definitely. Just told me to, not worry about that one. Move on to the next one. He told me I'd have another opportunity, and I'm on. Here we are. Get the nod, and just going to do what he said.
Part of pitching, and especially these days, is looking at the video and seeing what went right, what went wrong. In the Super Regional, were you able to see anything that wasn't right, that you'd, been some changes, anything you can fix?
I was just not throwing pitches with intent. I mean, I was trying to get ahead in counts and not throwing the best pitches I can do, and I'm sure go out there and try to fix that, throw pitches with great intent, trying to make every pitch count.
One final note on Nolan: there's always some thought that Nolan's pitching style fits bigger ballparks like TD Ameritrade Park because of how he pitches to contact. The real damage against him this season has been the home run, and a lot of times he's been able to limit those home runs to solo home runs and not give them up when he has runners on base. Really, when Ole Miss hit the 3-run home run in the first inning against him in Fayetteville last week, that was the first time that we've seen him give up that big, kind of devastating home run that teams really dread. And then he gave up a second home run, a solo home run, to begin the second inning, and he was pulled out of the game. Home runs have been really hard to hit, though, in TD Ameritrade Park. Not a lot have been hit since the park opened in 2011. A lot of that has to do not only with the size of the park, but also how the wind blows here during the warmer southern month or the warmer summer months. If Nolan does struggle on Monday, Van Horn said he'll be quick to pull him out of the game, and that all of the other arms are on deck for the Razorbacks, with the exception, of course, of Isaiah Campbell. the Razorbacks are going to do whatever they have to do to win this game, Van Horn said, and then they'll worry about whatever lies ahead down the road. When we come back on the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast, we will take a look at Texas Tech with some thoughts from Red Raiders coach Tim Tadlock.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app, presented by Absolute Heat and Air. Check out the all-new Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home, and take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app is presented by Absolute Heat and Air. For the absolute best service, trust Absolute Heat and Air.
It is a surprising loser's bracket matchup between Arkansas and Texas Tech today in Omaha. Many thought these two teams would be meeting today, but not with their season on the line. The Razorbacks and Red Raiders are both two of the top eight national seeds, Arkansas number 5, Texas Tech number 8. But one of them's going to leave Omaha this week without a win. Texas Tech, they're 44-19 overall. They were the regular season champion in the Big 12. They've always been a team that can swing the bats under Tim Tadlock, and they return a number of their older position players, like, say, Josh Young, who is a powerful hitter and was a first-round draft pick earlier this month. The big news, though, for Tech here in Omaha has been the absence of one of their better hitters, Gabe Holt, Tech's center fielder and leadoff man who bats .320, has an on-base percentage of just under .440. Holt injured his thumb during Tech's Super Regional against Oklahoma State last week. He required surgery, according to reports, and hasn't practiced since. He wasn't on the practice field Sunday when the Red Raiders went through practice at Creighton University in downtown Omaha. Tadlock was asked about Holt's availability following that practice, and here's what he had to say.
Neat thing about Gabe is when he feels like he can go, he came off an injury last year, I think, where he had his appendix taken out, if you guys remember, and literally went 10 days without seeing a pitch and came out and played great. He's a guy that has played a lot of baseball at a high level, and so if we can get to that point, it'd be cool. But right now, the guys need to pick him up and do everything we can to play good without him.
Now, the other big question for Tech this week is who's going to pitch in the game against the Razorbacks. Tadlock said it would be either junior right-hander Caleb Killian or sophomore right-hander Bryce Bunn, and you'll recognize Bonin's name. He pitched at Arkansas as a freshman last season, even threw for the Razorbacks here at the College World Series. He's one of a couple of Red Raiders, actually, who could play against the Razorbacks today who came from Arkansas. Easton Morrell, who played sparingly for the Razorbacks a year ago, has also been used on the left side of the Tech infield in recent weeks. Morrell has played in 4 games this postseason, including as a pinch hitter and a defensive replacement during Tech's 5-3 loss to Michigan in the opening game of the College World Series on Saturday. Bonin and Morrell sidestepped questions Sunday about the possibility of facing Arkansas, and Dave Van Horn didn't want to talk about seeing two of his former players either. But Tadlock touched on the dynamic and seemed to hint that Bonin, who's 6-1 with a 4.42 ERA this season, could start against Arkansas.
I mean, I think there's some comfort level with him pitching against their guys, probably 5 or 6 times, maybe even more. I would think there's some motivation there for him. His stuff's really good, first of all. That's probably the first thing. But, I mean, I think if you went to work for him, you know, you'd like to do something. And so I think there's some human element there that wants us all to kind of give the ball to Bryce, that we all want to give it to.
Statistically, these two teams are almost dead ringers of one another. Arkansas has a 3.88 team ERA. Tech has a 3.89. Tech bats .301 as a team. Arkansas bats .299. They both average just over 7 earned runs scored per game. Something to watch, though, is that Tech has seemed to struggle against higher-end pitching. during the Tadlock era, and that's maybe why they haven't had a lot of success here in Omaha, that maybe its offensive stats are ballooned a bit by playing in the more high-scoring Big 12. That was the case last season against Arkansas for Tech when the Red Raiders scored a combined 5 runs in 2 games against the Razorbacks. Remember that in addition to meeting here at the College World Series, the teams also played a single game at Baum Stadium in April of 2018. But, of course, this is a much different Arkansas team than last season, and today is a much different situation than when these teams played a year ago. Today's game starts at 1 o'clock. It'll be televised by ESPN. Tom Hart, Chris Burke, Ben McDonald, and Mike Rooney will be on the call. There's a slight chance of thunderstorms this afternoon in Omaha, but overall the forecast looks pretty favorable to play baseball with a high temperature near 80 degrees. We will be back Tuesday to recap the game between Arkansas and Texas Tech. We might have another game to preview, or we may be talking about the end of the season. The winner of the game today will play either Michigan or Florida State in another elimination game on Wednesday. As always, we hope you'll join us at WholeHogSports.com for all of our coverage here from Omaha. I'm Matt Jones. Have a good day, everyone.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.